just lift up our hands all over this place? I feel like God wants to sing over you tonight. This is different. I don't normally do this. But I felt like the Lord was speaking to me tonight. You know, the Bible talks about Him singing over you. And sometimes when we don't know what to do, I love it. It's the prayer of Jehoshaphat. He says, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And there's some of us today, we feel like we're in a possible situation, and we feel like the enemy is all around. But how many know that even if the enemy is all around, God's got His angels all around the enemy, and that this is a year of breakthrough, that this is a year where God is bringing deliverance to His people in this season. So I just kept hearing these words over and over. And the Lord was speaking to me about deliverance and releasing His angelic assistance. So here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, when it looks like you're surrounded, I'm surrounding the enemy. When it looks like I'm surrounded by You. When it looks like you're surrounded, He's surrounding you. Come on, somebody. How many know God is surrounding you right now? So, Lord, we thank You for breakthrough tonight. Lord, we thank You that You're changing things. Things are shifting tonight. Eyes are being open. Ears are being open to the things that God has. Now, I don't normally do this. If you've ever heard of a guy named Craig Broker, he does like prophetic rap. And so when you were doing this, I just felt like the Lord was just speaking. I just want to sing this over you. I can't believe, Lord, help me. Come on. It goes like this. I'm here to testify, blood of Christ can change your life. All you gotta do is let go of the strife. We keep oppressing and breaking, no condemnation. You're a soldier, battles yet to be finished. Demonic forces can't hold us in the midst of rejection. Blood of Jesus, my weapon. Every dark situation, preaching the word of salvation. Breaking doors of rejection, showing love and affection. Tell them never forsaken, but keep on hating on Satan. Here to testify, things are gonna turn out all right. Jesus is here, He's here tonight. He's breaking chains of rejection, releasing heavenly affection, telling you you're never forsaken. Come on, somebody. Tonight's a night, things are turning around for you. He's shifting everything from, come on, somebody. He's changing you tonight, things are all right. He's bringing breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Breakthrough, 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 bringing breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Where you're weak, He is strong. Come on, somebody, it's time to sing along. It's time for breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Do. I just keep going. I'm gonna sing over people prophesying. What's your name? Cynthia. Lord, I just thank You for Cynthia today. Lord, He's taking the tears, turning into joy. This is your season of harvest. God says His greatest promises are coming through you in this season. That God says everywhere where you've sown, it's turning into a harvest, and it's a new day and a new time. Things are shifting this season. It's interesting. I saw the word Psalms chapter 2. He's going to give you the nations for you. All you have to do is ask. He's going to give you nations, 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 opening up the door of nations. This is a year where you're going to receive double for your trouble. Everywhere the enemies try to come after you, God is sending angels on the double. He's removing every enemy, every hindrance being broken by the power of Jesus. He says, this is the year of the open door. This is the year to ask for more beyond what you can think or imagine. This is a year for double, double, double. The devil's in trouble. Jesus is here. He's gonna give you double, double, double. The devil's in trouble. Jesus is here. He's gonna give you double. I see this is a year of family revival. Loved ones are coming in. I see you standing in the gap, believing God. I see loved ones getting touched by the power of His love. This is the year of great testimony. This is the year where the blind are going to see. And this is the year of freedom. Lord, just release it. Freedom and liberty. Because God says, I put in you more than what you think. I put in you more than what you think. And as you open your mouth, the river of God's going to flow. So Lord, just release it right now. I thank you for the abundance of inheritance. I thank you for family revival. I thank you right now that things are shifting in Jesus' name, that this is a new year, that this is a new season for her. Lord, I thank you right now. It's harvest season. It's double. Where the enemy's trying to come in, God, I thank you right now. There's a double being restored to her right now in Jesus' name. Let me say amen. I like that. We're going to have fun tonight. Listen, if you don't want to have fun, you know, you're not going to like heaven. Heaven is a great place. I'm going to come over here. You know what? I'm going to right over here. What's your name, my man? What's your name? Ramon. Lord, I just thank you for Ramon. I'll tell you something, Ramon. God says this. I saw the word over you, Proverbs 13:22. A wise man or a good man leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And God says that something is going to start through you that's going to affect your kids and it's going to affect your legacy. That God says there's a blessing right now, and I just see such a financial breakthrough season. This is a year of the Lord releasing generational finances. That God says, I see you right now having a heart right now for those that are the widows, those that are the orphans. And God says there's a releasing of abundance of resource. That God says something is starting with you. That there's a breakthrough for, I see, for your whole family. That God says that right now, that as a family, there's a releasing of family inheritance in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless this family. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in them. That this is a new season for them right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, just release your glory over them right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Man. See, I think we get way too serious. And I feel like sometimes we're like, we got to try to make something happen. How many of you can't make anything happen? Jesus has done it all. And when he died on the cross and he said, it is finished. Guess what? It's still finished. And I love it because Paul said something amazing. He said, listen, you're more than a conqueror. What does that mean? How many know conquerors fight to win? And if you're more than a conqueror, that means you've already won before you fought. So you know what you need to do? You need to receive the spoils that Jesus has paid for in this season. So Lord, just release it right now in this place. Come on, lift up your hands one more time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of revival in this place. God, we thank you right now for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Holy Spirit, we're asking for just the refreshing rain of heaven to come in this place, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Whoa!
Let your presence flow.
Yes, come. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow.
His power, his anointing.
Yes. Lord, I just thank Right here, ma'am, right here at the black, just receive right now. There's a refreshing rain coming over you right now. God says this is the year of refreshment, that you've refreshed others. God says you're going to be refreshed in this season. And I see right now where the enemy has tried to destroy bridges of relationship. God says he's restoring relationships back in this season. And I see the arrows of the enemy that have tried to come against you. God says that the arrows are going back into the enemy's camp, and that this is a year of great clarity, that all confusion is gone, that this is a new season for you. You've been asking God, God, what do I do in this next season? God says he's making his way clear for you. And I see you're coming into a whole new level of dreaming again. I see dreams coming back to you. Even as a little girl, things that you used to dream. God says, those dreams are from me. And I will open up the door that no man can close. And I'll close doors that no man can open. And so, Lord, release your glory over her now in Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, I thank you. You're the glory and the lifter of her head. Hey, the glory and the lifter of her head. Whew. Whew. How many are thankful that God's in a good mood tonight? No, he's in a really good mood. Honestly, how many are thankful God doesn't take Tylenol because he's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe the situation that you're in. I just don't know what to do. You're on your own. Tough luck. Aren't you glad that the Bible says in Psalms chapter 2, it's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. It talks about how the enemy is trying to stop what God wants to do, and he's putting all his energy into stopping the plans of God. And the Bible says that our God sits in the heavens and he laughs. Some of you are like, that's, what are you talking about? Laughing? How is laughing spiritual? It's one of the greatest things that you can do. Do you know that the devil hates it when you laugh? Now, I didn't think I had to do this in some churches, but in some churches, you know what we need? We need to learn how to laugh again. No, honestly, I go to some places and they're like, Sammy, don't talk about joy. You ever met those people? I call them the lemon-faced Christians. You ever met lemon-faced Christians? It's like they've been sucking on a pound of lemons. So like, I've got joy. You know what I want to say? Bro, let your face know. Because how many know joy is not an emotion? It's a fruit of the Spirit. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. The joy of the Lord will affect your emotions. It will. It's not an emotion, but it will affect your emotion. And the Bible says, whoo, you sow with tears, but you reap with joy. Come on, somebody, you got to get this. You reap with joy. You reap with joy. With joy. No, 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 no. Some of you are like, what do you mean? If you want to step into harvest, you must reap with joy. So, you know, we're going to do something. I don't normally do this. We're going to go out here. Some of you, you need to learn how to laugh. Because you know what? Religion, you know what religion does? It sucks the joy out of people. And I meet too many Christians. They have no joy in their life. It's all doctrine, and it's all this form of godliness, and they have no power. God is looking for a people that will carry the joy of the Lord. And I'll tell you something, the joy of God is infectious. And once it comes on you, it's not going to stop. How many want that tonight? You want some joy? So here's what you're going to learn. This is called Laughing 101. Some of you, you need this. Ha, ha, ha. I want you to do this. Ha, ha, ha. Some of you are like, I'm not doing it. Listen, if you don't want the joy, I'll take the joy tonight. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Hee, hee, hee. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Hee, hee, hee. Some of you are like, I'm sounding like Santa Claus. Yes, you are right now. And what I'm doing tonight is I'm priming the pump, because some of us, we've been so serious, we don't realize how good our Father is. You have a good Father tonight, and He loves you so much. And the Bible says that if you ask for bread, what father would give you a stone? I don't know about you. Listen. Someone asked me for bread. I'm not going to give them a stone. How much more will your heavenly Father give to His children? You're His children today. So again, ha ha ha. Ho ho ho. Hee hee hee. Lord, we receive the joy. Today, Lord, we receive the joy. Lord, we thank You. Whether we feel it or not, we step into joy. We step into, I love what Jesus said. Woo! When the faithful servant was done, you know, his duties, what did Jesus say? You know, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the what? Depression of your master. No. Enter into the joy. The joy. Enter into the joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. Joy. I got the joy. Hey. Joy. We got the joy. Hey. We got the joy. So the Bible says that Jesus was anointed, oh, with the oil of joy more than any of his companions. Lord, release your joy in this place. You know, it's a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. Oh. Some of you are like, what's going on? I'm just receiving tonight. It's a dangerous prayer to ask Holy Spirit to move. Some of us, we don't realize when we say, Holy Spirit, come. Listen, He wants to come, and sometimes He wants to mess you up. How many want to get messed up by God tonight? I was in a meeting, and there's probably about 400 people in the place. Very, very good Canadian church. You know, everyone was dressed up. They're all in their Sunday best. And the pastor said, Sammy, can you preach on Holy Spirit? I said, okay. So I was praying. I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to ask my people for permission to move tonight. I want you to ask my people for permission to move. See, the Holy Spirit's not just going to come in and just bombard and do whatever He wants. He's looking for permission. He's a gentleman, and I feel like for some of us, we don't realize this, but God wants to touch you tonight. And if you say, Holy Spirit, I give you control. I'm telling you, it's going to be one of the greatest meetings tonight. And, you know, in this church, here I am. I said, listen, we're going to ask Holy Spirit to come. I said, it's a dangerous prayer. Don't pray it unless you mean it. Well, everyone was like, Holy Spirit, come. I'm like, okay. Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, get everyone to sit down. I said, okay, everyone sit down. And then God says, I want you to pray for the worship team. How many like to pray for the worship team? Amen? And so there I am. I get all the worship team up. And all I do was, Holy Spirit, come. And now, have you ever been to those churches with those old plastic, you know, those plastic lawn chairs? Well, they had 8 people on the worship team. 7 fell down and chairs started shooting up in the air. I'm like, my goodness. People are like, what's going on? And the only guy that didn't fall was the bass player. Now, I got to tell you something about the bass player. Now, he's not you, bro. The bass player, man, he was like a bass player. This guy was like 400 pounds, and he was a barrel of a man, like literally, like a barrel of a man. And he's there. He's got his eyes closed. And I said, Holy Spirit, don't forget the bass player. I said, Holy Spirit doesn't forget you. And I remember this bass player, literally, it was like someone kicked him in the chest and he shot back two rows. And the worst thing happened, you know what that is? The guy behind him, two rows back, weighed 90 pounds wet. Short little dude. And this bass player flies through the air and lands on this guy like 90 pounds. I thought he killed him. All you could see was the bass player and two little hands and little feet. I thought, oh God, what kind of service is this? Hey. Whew. So the ushers, now we've got good ushers here, but in that church I called them the useless ushers. I mean, they came running over to get that big guy off, and the little guy's trying to push him off. You can't move him. The guy, the bass player's out. He's just like, ah. And so the ushers grab a hand, and the power of God touches both of them. They both fall out. I'm thinking, thanks a lot. So the guy at the bottom gets tired of pushing. He can't get the guy off. So you know what he starts to do? He starts to laugh. The guy at the bottom, ha, ha, ha. Well, as he's starting to laugh on the bottom, the big guy's belly goes, bop, 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 bop. And the guy starts laughing harder, and the belly goes, bop, 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 bop. And I mean, 400 people lost it. I mean, they were laughing so hard. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what is going on? And then Holy Spirit said, invite everyone up. I mean, everybody came up. And all these people came up. And I remember, I call him the dead guy. Man, this guy looked like he had no life. And he came up. I'm about to pray for him, and bodies are just falling on the ground. Holy Spirit's moving. And I'm about to pray for him, and he goes, Mr. Robinson, Benny Hinn has prayed for me 3 times, and I've never felt the power of God. Reinhard Bonnke has prayed for me 2 times. I have never felt the power of God. He goes through all these people that have prayed for him. And he's like, I've never felt the power of God. I'm like, dude, the first thing that you can do is be quiet. And so I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I feel like I got no faith, but you're here. Holy Spirit, touch him. And no joke, he goes like this. Ooh, and his hands cross, and he falls down on the ground. Now he looks dead. I'm like, wow, he did the nesty plunge. Like, I'm like, that's awesome. Bless you. And I'm going down the line, and all of a sudden, I hear people talking. They're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And I hear clickety, 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 clickety. I'm like, what in the world? It sounded like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Like, clickety, clickety. I'm like, what is going on? And I turn back. It's this dude on the floor. He's vibrating. And it's his teeth. I'm like, my goodness, what's going on? It's the guy's. I'm like, now everyone's looking at me like I know what to do. Like, this happens all the time. I'm like, God, what's going on? I'm thinking, well, what is this, the devil? Is this you? So here's, listen, this is Ministry 101. This is really good. Ministry 101. When you don't know what to do and you have the mic, tell everybody to back up. So I said, listen, I need you to back up because I need to discern the situation. So everyone backs up. Oh, the man of God, he's going to discern. So here's my discernment. Jordan, I go down. I whisper, is it good or is it bad? And this guy goes, I feel the power of God. Now, of course, in them, more, Lord, stretch out your hand, more. Oh, yeah, now I'm confident. More, God, more. Why am I saying that? Holy Spirit wants to move. All you need to do tonight is give him permission. Listen, we can have the greatest meeting of our life tonight. You are one touch away from breakthrough. All you got to do is ask. Holy Spirit, would you move in this place? Whew. Watch what happens when Holy Spirit moves. You know, Holy Spirit told me, he said, Samuel, I want to be your best friend. I want to walk with you everywhere that you go. Not just in service, not just on Sunday mornings, I want to walk with you in the grocery store. How many want to walk with God to your workplace, everywhere? And I remember, I'm married with three kids. I love doing the groceries. And I remember 7 a.m. in the morning, I needed to pick up some cereal. And I got to tell you, here's my confession today. My favorite cereal was Frosted Flakes. Anybody here love Frosted Flakes? Listen, straight up, Tony the Tiger is the greatest motivational speaker of your life. He points that furry finger at you, and he's like, it's great. You're like, yeah, Tony, we're going to have a great time. So I'm about to pick up Tony. We're going to have a great day. And I remember going down to my favorite store, Safeway, the cereal aisles, aisle 7. And I got my jam on. I'm in my sweats. I'm just chilling. And I go down to aisle 7, and there's another lady there. And the Lord speaks to me and says, I want you to pray for this lady. I'm like, God, you want me to pray for this lady? I haven't taken a shower. I don't even know if I brushed my teeth. I'm like, God, she might fall out of bad breath. Like, Lord, help. Now, this woman was about to make the worst mistake of her life, by the way. You know what that was? She is about to purchase Whole Wheat Cheerios. Whole Wheat Cheerios is like cardboard in a cardboard box. So what do? You're in Safeway. I don't have the band. I got me in sweats. I don't smell nice. And here's the lady. She's about to pick up cereal. And God's like, pray for her. I'm like, I don't want to pray for her. Jesus is like, pray for her. I don't want to. So here's what I do. I close my eyes. I'm like, Lord, just touch her. This looks wrong. Ministry 101, do not do this. I'm like, Lord, touch her. Touch her. All of a sudden, I hear, douche. What in the world? I turn, I don't see her. I look down. There she is on the floor. Cheerios all over the floor. I'm like, praise God, they're under my feet. She looks up at me. I've got a captive audience. Here she is. She's on the floor. Big eyes. And she's like, what did you do? That's a good question. People should be asking us that a lot more in this season. I'll tell you something. When you carry the Holy Spirit, when you carry the power of God, people will ask you, what's different about you? What are you doing? And so I went down, I sat down on the floor with her in aisle 7. I preached the gospel, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ in aisle 7 of Safeway. I don't know about you. God wants to release divine encounters with people. See, the thing I've realized with Holy Spirit, He's not ashamed of your personality. Man, if God can use me, He can use anybody. He's not ashamed of your mannerisms. He likes you just the way you are. And I found that the anointing always flows the best when you're you. And I can feel this right now, even in this place. I feel like God wants to break off all these false expectations of how we think Holy Spirit should move. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for a move of God tonight, friends. I want to see God move like we've never seen before. I want to see Brooks completely, totally transformed by the glory of God. How many of that's you today? You're like, God, we need a divine encounter with heaven tonight. Thank you, guys. If you guys want, you can be seated. But I'm just going to come. Can I just do some ministry stuff? Is this cool? This right now, the lady here in the checkered, right there, the checkered shirt. What's your name? Debbie. I'm coming over to see Debbie. Have your hand, Debbie. Lord, I just thank you for Debbie. Lord, Debbie, right now, Father, I thank you right now. I just see the Lord strengthening your hands. Lord, in this season, that God says right now that this is a season of supernatural strength. You're going to do things beyond what you can think or imagine in this season right now. And I see you've walked through some tough things in this previous season, but God says He's holding your hand. and everything's going to be okay. That Jesus is holding your hand right now and he's walking with you. And the trials that you're facing about to be tomorrow's testimonies right now. And the mountains that you're going through, I can feel it right now. And you went through a season of feeling alone. You went through a little bit of a season where it was like uphill. God says right now, the mountains that you're facing right now are going to be your testimony right now in Jesus' name. That God says you're going to carry a supernatural testimony of breakthrough like never before. That this is a new season for you. I see the Lord just giving you eyes to see. They're shifting right now. That God says that you're a mighty woman of God, that you have great things inside of you, that this is a year I see like a glass ceiling just coming off of you right now in Jesus' name, that this is a year where you're going to taste and see that the Lord is good in Jesus' name. Man, I feel good. Man, I guarantee you by the end of this time, you're either really not going to like me or you're going to have a great time. I know you like me. But I'll tell you, you know what God really wants to do in the, I see in this region? He wants to remove every spirit of religion. And he wants to release, I'm talking about a real deal move of God where those that have been addicted to drugs, those who have been addicted to alcohol are going to get set free. They're going to have one touch from heaven, one taste of heaven, and it's going to break off all addictions. We've been seeing this in our meetings lately where people have been coming in filled with addictions. All of a sudden, addictions have been breaking off of people. People laying down drugs at the altar, cigarettes at the altar because of the glory of God. And how many know when God shows up, demons can't stand in his presence? They can't. And I just feel this right now that there is a prophetic word over you that even for some of you, you've been like, man, I feel like the enemy's all around. Listen, God is circling the enemy. And some of you are coming into what I call a Jehovah Sneaky moment. How many want a Jehovah Sneaky moment? That's one of the names. That's a new name from Sammy Robbins, Jehovah Sneaky. You know what that is? The one that sneaks up on you. See, some of us, we think we know God so well, and you know, I know God. No, listen. God's about to reveal himself in ways beyond what we can think or imagine. And I love it. I love when God moves on people, especially when they think they got it all figured out. They've got, I mean, they got every degree you can think about. And I they come in and they're like, you know, I know everything about God. No, you don't. So Lord, just release your glory in this place. Lord, release your glory in this place. I'll tell you what, God is saving the best till last. Whew. Lord, just release the river of joy in this place. How many want God to take your tears that you've sown and turn it into joy in this season? Lord, release the joy of harvest right now in Jesus' name. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Lord, release, Lord, powerful worship in this place. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to come over here. This is really good. Lord, just move over these. Shababa, rababa, barra. This, Lord, we just, shababa. Lord, just release your glory. Right now, I'm going to come over here too. Lord, just release your glory. Lord, over them. Lord, over the bass player. God, I'm praying right now. I see you. God's going to give you creative ideas. I see creative ideas. I see you getting things that are so above the curve. And I see you, I don't know if you've ever thought about your own business, but I see like business and I see all these things that the Lord has given you that you're going to have. God's going to give you, Deuteronomy 8:18, the power to get wealth. There's creative ideas for kingdom finances that is being released through you in this season. That God says right now that you are going to be one that's going to lend to nations and not borrow. That there's going to be such a realm of financial breakthrough that's on your life that you're going to literally see those that are stuck in poverty completely, totally set free in Jesus' name. Whew. I wasn't normally like this. No. I was one of the top-rated basketball players in Canada. I broke Steve Nash's records. I work with professional athletes. I do all this awesome stuff. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, he said, all of that stuff means nothing if you don't have my presence. Nothing. You know what I realized, too, about everyone's like, oh, this stuff doesn't work in the world. Yes, it does. The joy works in the world. I teach people how to receive the joy of the Lord. I'm talking before NHL games. We start laying hands and people get wrecked, rolling on the floor laughing. And coaches love me. You know why? All their disgruntled players don't care anymore. They don't care about their contract. They don't care about they're not getting enough ice time. They get touched by Jesus. They go out on the ice and they're the best team players. Why? Because when the joy comes in, all the other stuff doesn't matter. How many want more joy tonight? You just, Lord, just release your joy. I like this guy. I'm coming over here. This is going to be a different night, but it's going to be good. Now, I promise you, by the end of this night, God is going to do something powerful. Lord, I like this guy. Number one, he's a good golfer. Lord, I thank you. No, Lord, just release your joy over him right now from the top of his head to the soles of his feet right now. Lord, I thank you right now. God says you're going to carry the heart of the Father everywhere that you go, that there's the Father's heart, that God says he's enlarging your heart to love a generation of people that can't see, they can't see the gold in them. They can't see, wow, just the prophetic promise. And I see you seeing, like, just, it's like you're seeing the jewels, you're seeing the gold of them, and you're just prophesying over them. And God says that you're going to carry such a realm of the prophetic like never before, that there's a realm of the prophetic that's going to come through you that's going to be so dynamic and so powerful that even right now, I don't know what your family situation is like, extended family, but God says there's going to be a move of God in your family right now, that there's things are going to happen in your family right now in Jesus' name. Lord, release it right now in Jesus' name. And that there's a testimony in you. And I see you writing. I see like there's like a book inside of you that God is going to release. And there's something about the power of your testimony and what you've gone through that's going to give people hope, that God says you have a message of hope in you that's going to be released. And Lord, I thank you right now for that authority to break off chains of bondage and addiction, Father, that have been on a generation. Lord, I thank you for the authority being released in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey. Whew. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, usually I can be really polished if I want to, but tonight I'm feeling really good right now. This is really good. And sometimes you need to stay in the flow. I don't want to rush things. Holy Spirit, listen. We've locked the doors. No, I'm joking. some of you, no, we haven't. When you get to know Holy Spirit, you realize he's so much fun. And, he loves, my girls, my oldest, Kaylin, she's almost five, and she loves to be a little princess. She gets her hair all nice. And I love it as a dad. You know what I love to do? Is sneak up on my daughter and ruffle up her hair. Oh, she gets so mad. But can I tell you something? She's like, oh, Daddy, why are you doing this? But if I don't do that for 4 or 5 days, she gets upset. Why? It's a sign of affection. Can I tell you something? How many know every good father likes to mess with their kids a little bit? It's good for us. Let's just like, just some, because I feel like for some of us, we're trying so hard to be people that we're not. We got to stop it. It's a good word. Just listen. You know, one of the most freeing things I've learned is I don't have to live up to other people's expectations. You don't have to live up to other people being like, you need to be like me. You need to be like, listen, no, stop it. You know, the other thing I've realized, it's so freeing. I don't have to care what other people think about me. And I don't have to try to make everybody happy. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Oh, some of us are like, when are you going to get to the message? I'll get to the message. Don't worry. I will have a Bible verse for you. I promise. We're in a good service. Listen. I know this is Holy Spirit. I know Holy Spirit's moving. And he's moving and he's stirring the waters tonight. How many have ever heard of Heidi Baker? Anybody ever heard of Heidi Baker? Before, listen, there was this lady named Heidi Baker. If you've heard of her, she's absolutely amazing. Something like she started over 20,000 churches. They've seen something like 50 resurrections from the dead. They have literally seen Mozambique, the poorest country in Africa, completely, totally reformed. They're seeing churches explode all over the continent of Africa. Thousands upon tens of thousands of people are giving their life to the Lord. So when I heard that this missionary, Heidi Baker, was coming to a conference, I was like, I gotta go. So I came to the conference expecting Heidi Baker. Have you ever felt that before? Then you go, you're like, this is the guy?
Some of you thought Samuel Robinson basketball, but you're like, this is the guy? Looks like he ate a basketball. What's going on? And I went to the conference, Heidi Baker, and Heidi comes out. And I thought, I'm going to be honest, I thought they were letting someone special speak before Heidi. Because she gets up there, and she's like closing her eyes, and she's going like this. And she's going, holy, like holy, holy, holy. And I'm like, does she have like spiritual Tourette's or something? Like, I'm like, what is going on? Holy, whoa. And I'm like, this is weird. And I'm like, this is Heidi Baker? Holy. I'm like, get me out of here. But you know what's crazy? Every time she would say that, the presence of God would show up. And every time I wanted to leave, I couldn't leave. It was like, I'm like, I don't want to miss this. Something is going on. Something that she carries. I need this. Because I realized something. What I had was not enough. I needed more. And I don't know about you, but I have to have more of God. I'm desperate for more. I know that there's more. We have to have breakthrough. Or we can get offended and leave. But I'll tell you something. If you're hungry, you'll stay because you want breakthrough. And there I am. I'm like, oh my goodness. So here's this woman, holy, and she starts talking about how God's transforming Africa, and all they're doing is they're just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they're worshiping him, and they're asking for him to come, and they're holding kids that are dying in their arms, and they're worshiping Jesus, and the power of God is touching the kids, and they're completely, totally healed. She's going, whoa, and I'm like, oh my goodness, help me, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, she goes, holy young man over here. And it was me. You ever done panic tongues before? Yeah. Panic prayer? That was me. Oh God, help, 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 help. No, no, no. It was like the spotlight of heaven goes on me. And everyone's looking at me. I'm like Bambi. Come up here, young man. I'm like, I don't want to come up. Help, 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 help. And I'm coming up. Help, help, help. Oh, God. Help me, Jesus. Help me. And there she is. Holy. I'm like, oh, no. I'm coming towards the holy lady. The holy woman. God, help me. It feels really good, but this is really weird. It feels really good. This is really weird. Holy. I'm like, oh. And everyone, there's a couple thousand people. I'm like, will someone please help me? There I am on stage. It's a big stage. And I'm looking at her. And she's looking at me. And she's got like, it's like fire in her eyes. Just love. And I've got the big deer in the headlights. Holy. Some of us, we think, we have these perceptions that God's going to come in the room. Oh. And I'm, yes, Lord, your servant is here. I'm here. I'm going to save the day. No, no, no. You get in the meeting with the holy lady, and all of a sudden you're stuck like, and she's like, young man, I'm going to pray for you. I'm like, ooh. God's going to send you to the dark nations of the world. You know what I wanted to say? Stop it right now. Because some of you, you're like, oh, God, send me to dark nations. I don't want to go to dark nations. You know where I want to go? Florida, Hawaii, and California. That's where. Send me there, God. Lord, send me. I'll go to Disneyland for you. Not the dark nations. No. She's like, you're going to go to the darkest nations where Christians are giving their lives for Jesus. I'm like, you go there. Got to be careful when you say, I'm not going to go there. That's dumb. Don't say that. Like, God would never make me like that. Stop it. You start saying that kind of stuff, God will make you twice as bad. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. Stop it. But it's crazy. I'm like, this is really weird. This is what I'm thinking. This is really weird, but it feels really good. This is really weird, but it feels really good. And she's like, I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm like, uh-oh. And this hand comes, and I've never fell out before. By the power of God, and this hand comes on me, and it was like fire, like liquid fire, and I fall to the floor, and I start screaming, and I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, who is this 12-year-old girl that is screaming right now? That's what I'm thinking, and I don't realize it's me. Ah! As I'm feeling liquid love for the dark nations of the world that I don't want to go to. I'm on the floor, and God shows me Indonesia. He shows me Malaysia. He shows me all these countries, Borneo, all these places that have opposed the gospel, where people have given their life for Jesus. Some of the most radical nations, and God said, I want to give you a harvest in the dark nations. How many know you can never have a harvest, come on somebody, until first you get touched by the one that gives you the authority to have harvest? And you can never have harvest in nations. You can't have a harvest for your city until you get touched by the liquid love of God for your city. I realized I'd said a lot of prayers in my life. And the truth was I never had the revelation of those prayers because I never encountered the person that could give me that revelation. And in that moment, I encountered the person that I had talked about, the person that I had prayed to. I'm like, Lord, I want to see revival. All of a sudden, I encountered the man who has eyes like fire that are burning with love for you and for the nations and for this nation and for Brooks. And I encountered this love, and I'm just like, I'm just crying out. I'm like, oh, God. And I could start seeing faces of all these people that had given their lives for Jesus, crying out, saying, Lord, release the harvesters, release the harvesters. And so I started to travel with my dad in 2000, and it was 2004, and to Indonesia. How about this for a missions trip? The first hotel we stay in, we stay there for 3 days. On the fourth day, there was a bombing. It was our hotel. We had just left the hotel, and it bombed. Boom. Come with us. I was like, oh. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're in dark nations, but how many know when you have a word from heaven, God will protect you no matter where you go? And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And we went into churches and we prophesied over churches that were 300. It said, God is releasing harvest over your church, over your city, over your region. And one of the craziest things that took place was in one of the meetings, my dad was there. He prophesied. He said, there's a releasing right now. He's like, I see a tsunami wave hitting Indonesia. But God wants you to know that the church is winning, not losing. Prepare the church to help the nation of Indonesia. And 15 days later, it's all recorded on a tape that that one of our friends sent out to all these leaders all across Indonesia. They called my dad a false prophet. They're like, this guy, Charlie Robinson's a false prophet. This would never happen. Then 15 days later, the tsunami came, 2004. But the church was ready because many churches prepared. And there was an incredible harvest that took place, and churches that were 300 became 48,000. All through one touch from Holy Spirit. How many know he can make a way where there is no way? Come on, somebody. I mean, the Holy Spirit today, if you allow him to, he can touch your life and you will never be the same. How many say amen? Now listen, I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me, because we were praying today and we all felt this, that God was releasing the wine of heaven tonight. And I want to minister this word, and then I'm going to lay hands on people. I believe God's going to move in miracles tonight, and it's going to be awesome. But I feel like tonight is a party night. How many know Jesus loves to have a good party? Did you know the church is called to release two things, love and a good party? No, I'll prove it in the word. You know the Bible says, he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Can I tell you something? We all understand the love part, but when we hear banqueting table, I'll tell you, the actual translation, the translators chickened out. You know what that word banqueting table actually means? House of wine. Did you know that today? He brought me to his house of wine, and his banner over me is love. Can I ask you, what do you do in a house of wine? You don't ask for the Diet Coke, by the way. Now, I'm not enforcing here, by the way. If people are like, are you enforcing drinking? No, I'm not enforcing drinking. But I am enforcing drinking of the Holy Spirit. Because we need the water of the word to turn to wine in this season. We need the joy of heaven. He brings us to his banqueting table, his house of wine, and his banner over us is love. How many know the world is looking for two things? Love and a good party. And the church is called to release both. How many believe in this season that the wine of heaven is going to flow like never before? And I want to preach today out of John chapter 2, because I believe that God is releasing this over Brooks, Alberta in this season. Let's start with verse 1. It says, on the third day, say third day. How many believe we're stepping into the third day of what the church is called to do right now? In the third day, I love it, a wedding took place. How many like weddings? I love weddings. How many know there's good food at weddings? I got to tell you this. When I got married to my wife, Jordan, I only asked for one thing. You know what it was? To pick the food. And you know what I got at my wedding? I got a mishwi. My wife walked down. We had a wedding at a vineyard. My wife walked down the aisle, and to our right was a spit with a piece of meat that was over a fire. And I mean, it was the most amazing smell. My wife hated it, but I loved it. I was smiling at the beauty of my wife and the smell of that steak. Love was in the air. I'll tell you something, though. Every guy that I talked to that came to my wedding, they said, Sammy, that wedding had the best food. I said, yeah. You know why? Because guys remember only a couple things. One of them is how good the food is. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Now look at this. Verse 2. Jesus and his disciples. Now say disciples. I want you to get something. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. I love the next part of this verse. When the wine was gone. Can I ask you a question? I wonder why the wine was gone. You know, this is me just putting out a theory. How do we know that Jesus' disciples were not your church choir boys? They were fishermen, tax collectors. You had a lot of dudes that probably wouldn't even be able to, in some churches, be the parking lot attendant. And those were Jesus' guys. Can you imagine how much parental control that Jesus must have been under? Peter, put down the wine. Jesus, it's free. They ran out of wine. I wonder why. Can I tell you something, friends? In revival, there's always the wine of the Spirit. I'll tell you something. When there is no wine, there's no revival. You know what we need again? We need another move of the Holy Spirit. In our nation, in our cities, we need the wine of heaven to flow. We need the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I'll tell you something, friends. Too often we're living without the wine of heaven. The Lord spoke to me. He said, Samuel, many people have good doctrines, but your doctrines must become realities. The water of the word needs to turn to wine. I'll tell you something, friends. We're in a season right now where we need revelation from heaven. We need it. We can't just have good stuff. Many people can quote verses. They can tell me all these things. And I'll put up a little scenario. You don't have to lift up your hand. But if I asked how many people believe in winning souls, most hands go up. But if I ask people how many are winning souls on a regular basis, most hands go down. Why? We have a theology of winning souls. We don't have a reality of winning souls. I could say the same thing about prophecy, miracles. Many of us, we have good theology here about what God wants to do, but it hasn't gone from here to here. And we need God to take the water of the word and turn it to wine. And we see this situation, and I love this. Verse 3, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And I love this, verse 4. Every time I read verse 4, my right cheek goes a little red. You want to know why? What's the first thing that Jesus says? Woman. Can I tell you something? Only the Son of God can call his mom woman. If I ever said to my mom, woman, or my wife, I mean, I would get the right hand of fellowship right in the chops. Woman. goodness. How many know what I'm talking about, men? Listen, here's something really good. This is relationship. This is a side note. This is a bonus point for you. If you're taking notes, most of you aren't, praise God. No, listen, when you're in a... I've been married 9 years. I know it's not that long. But I've realized a couple things. When you're in a discussion, husbands, with your wife, there's three things you have to look for when dealing with your wife. I've realized this is really good. The first thing is, when your wife goes like this, she puts her feet in a power stance. You see this right here? She's not getting her balance. She's locking and loading right here. Boom, boom. Like this. Power stance right here. The second thing that happens, what I've realized, is when your wife crosses her arms, she's not giving herself a hug. And the third thing that happens, and this is when you need to get really low. This is when you play the humble card and you duck because you're about to pass the point of no return. Men, you want to know what that is? Most of you know what I'm talking about. Listen, follow me right here. Lock and load, arms crossed. The third thing that happens, this is the time when you humble yourself. She starts nodding like this. How many men, how many know what I'm talking about? Some of you are laughing right now. She's not agreeing with you. She's like this. You know what this means? This is, she's pumping a verbal shotgun that's about to go off. Woman! Why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour or my time has not yet come. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, this is not my problem. How many know sometimes we put ourselves in a situation that is not God's problem? Some of you today, you're like, God, I need financial breakthrough. And the truth is, maybe you shouldn't have bought the $150,000 truck. Just saying. Have you ever felt like you put yourself in a situation that you're like, God, I need your help? But the truth is, God doesn't have to help you. It's not his problem. But he chooses to make it his problem because he loves you. You know, there's a lot of situations. You know what I call it? The spirit of stupid. You ever had the spirit of stupid? You do something, you're like, how in the world did I get here? I've done that in a conference one time. I got up. I was so bold. I said, God's going to heal right now all the blind eyes. That's pretty gutsy. Can I tell you something? I didn't even think it. It came out. I'm like, oh! Panic prayer. Oh, God, help, 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 help. Two people come up. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Sammy, I like your faith. I didn't tell you to do it, but I'm going to heal them because I'm with you. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I prayed for both. They both got healed. You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Samuel, there are certain situations that you go through. I didn't put you in this situation, but I'll tell you something. I make it my issue because I love you. That's the good Father. That's the goodness of our Father. That's not afraid of walking through things with you. Even when you feel like you've blown it. Even when it's like, oh man, I know I did something wrong. God's not afraid of your situation. It's awesome. And he makes it his problem because he loves you. And we see this here. I can't even imagine the dialogue between Jesus and his mother. And how many know that for years, all Mary did was look at the face of Jesus? How many know, they say this, it's amazing. 90% of communication is nonverbal. 90%. How many know Mary, for years, looked at the face of Jesus, even with no communication or limited communication, looked at the face of Jesus and knew the nonverbal things of Jesus. How many know today, whew, if you get this, it's going to change your life, I'm telling you. There are times when we're asking for God to say go, when he's already said go, and he's not going to use words, you have to feel the go. Sometimes we're looking for things that we hear, when hearing is only one-fifth of our senses. And there's five different ways that you can feel the presence of God. Not just by seeing it, not just by hearing it, not by just tasting, smelling, touch. There's different ways that you can do it. And sometimes we get stuck. We're looking for the go of heaven. And instead, some of us, we need to feel his heart. And here's Jesus. The words of Jesus says, my hour's not yet come. But how many know Mary, I believe, could look at Jesus and say, you know what? I know my son. There are many times People ask me, how did you do this event? How did you, you know, do evangelistic events? It cost you $100,000 for a day. How did you have the faith? Did you hear the audible voice of God? No, I felt his heart. God is raising up a generation that is so close to him that all they need to do, I know when I look at my wife being married 9 years, there's certain looks. There's looks of, hey, and there's looks of, oh. She doesn't even have to say anything. Why? Because we have a relationship. We have an intimacy with each other that we don't even need words. You can just look and you know. God is raising up a generation of lovers that know Jesus. And when Jesus' heart just moves, flutters, they know that it's a go. They're not looking for the booming voice of heaven to say go. They've already felt his heart. And I love this verse 5. Mary doesn't even respond to Jesus. It says, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. Another translation says, whatever he says, do it. How many know Nike got it right? Just do it. How many are done with talk? How many want to do in this season? Like I feel like, you know, we've talked so much about revival. How many want to live in revival in this time? Just do it. Well, Samuel, I've only had 3 words. I need 2 more burning bushes, 2 more angels. No, just do it. Well, you know, I don't feel it. Listen, take a step. Well, I don't know what to do. I feel so afraid. Listen, you won't know the direction of your life until you turn it on and put your foot on the gas. Just do it. Oh. See, when you say yes to God, anything is possible. Whew. So God spoke to me. He said, I want to give you Indonesia as your inheritance. Indonesia, the nation of Indonesia, largest Muslim nation in the world. We've now seen, it's been amazing, since 2004, almost 2 million people give their life to Jesus Christ in Indonesia. 2 million people. Why am I sharing this? Because when Holy Spirit tells you something, we can spend our whole lives contemplating and trying to figure it out in our heads, or we can live it out through our hearts. Too often we're trying to convince other people of our destiny when what you're called to do is just live it out. So the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you Indonesia, and I'm going to make a way where there is no way. How many want God to make a way where there is no way? I remember going every single year to Indonesia, seeing God move. We started doing leadership conferences of 3,000 people. I'm going back in January. I said this last night, preaching at a conference of 48,000 people. I'm meeting with business people, over 200 of them. Like, I would say 10 of them are Christian billionaires. You know what they're doing? They're praying about how to eradicate poverty out of Indonesia and how to get rid of all corruption out of their country. Come on, man. You ready for this? This is going to just rock you. I'm telling you what. If you don't have faith for our country that God's going to move, the nations have faith that God's going to move in the nation of Canada. How do I know that? There are 4 Christian billionaires that I meet with every time I go. We pray together. They don't call themselves billionaires. They call themselves intercessors with $1 billion. I like that. How many want to be an intercessor with $1 billion? That's what I'm talking about. And then all they do is pray. Get together. They pray. God tells them, buy this building. They buy this building. They go into regions that people said, the economy is terrible here. They go in through the glory of God. The economy explodes. Last time I went, we did a prayer walk. You know what a prayer walk was? They picked us up in a helicopter, and we flew over Jakarta. They own, 4 people own, 20% of Jakarta, Indonesia. And we're praying over Indonesia, prophesying what God's doing. It was awesome. You know what I had to tell myself? This is amazing. Humble, 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 humble. Lord, keep me humble, keep me humble, keep me humble. This is awesome. Lord, this is amazing. We're prophesying over the nation. This trip coming up, I'm meeting with the president of Indonesia, asking, can you help us? We have a need for our kids. They need hope, and we're bringing NBA basketball players that love Jesus. We're doing an event sponsored by the Muslim government to talk about Jesus Christ. Why would God do that? Listen, God can do whatever he wants. And some of you are like, that's not fair. Favor ain't fair, but when you got it, you got it. So God started speaking in Indonesia, and we started doing all these events, and God was moving. And every single time, Holy Spirit said, I'm going to make a way where there is no way. When it seems impossible, I'm going to make a way. All you need to do is trust in me. Just do it. Don't try to figure everything out. I haven't called you to be one that's going to figure everything out. I've called you to believe in me. And I still remember my 13th time going to Indonesia. This was awesome. Now, if you've ever been to a third world country, you go to their airport, and it's like, you're thankful in Canada that we have AC or cold, because we're there and I'm sweating. I remember going and handing my passport in to the customs officer, and they don't really speak English. And I remember the customs officer took my passport, looked at the, you know, they always have you ever noticed customs officers are not the most friendly people? It's like they always woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And I won't say it. Can I say it? Religious people would make great customs officers. No, I'm joking. Just joking. That offends you. Just drink of the Spirit tonight. And I gave the passport in to the customs guy. And he looks at it, looks at me, scans it. Now, in Indonesia, it's super simple. You have a green light that says, come in. Red light, you're bad. So the guy takes the passport. Every time, it's been green light. He takes the passport, scans it. Brrr! Red light. I'm like, no, this is the red light. That's not good. The guy looks at the passport, looks at me. I said, do it again. Brrr! Now everyone's looking at me like, who's this dude with the red light? Everyone else, green. You know, rainbows, sunflowers. I get red light. Brrr, brrr. I'm like, oh God. So the guy, one more time. Brrr. And now I've got like everyone look at me. I'm like, oh Lord, what am I going to do? And there's a guy that comes out. I mean, he was the slickest guy. He had his hair slicked back, three-piece suit. And he said, Mr. Robinson, we've been waiting for you. That's not the kind of waiting that you want, by the way. We've been waiting for you. No, that's okay. You've got the wrong Robinson. He says, come with me. I'm thinking, I don't want to go with you. How many want to go with somebody? A customs officer in a three-piece suit down the bowels of the airport in a nation that's very, very extreme. And my worst fear came upon me. Can I tell you what my worst fear is? I hate tiny rooms. I do not like tiny rooms. I am not a minimalist by far. If that's for you, God bless you. I'm believing God. I got a spacious place in heaven. I do not like small rooms. Going to the UK is brutal. I bump into everything. I'm like, oh. And there I am in a tiny room, and it looked like out of a movie. I'm in a tiny room with a little light and a desk and two chairs that look like they were made from IKEA. That's the other thing. I'm telling, oh, IKEA. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And he's like, sit down. I'm like, man, I'm going to break this chair. It's so small. And I sit down on the chair, and he says, Mr. Robinson, we've been waiting for you. I said, really? He said, I'm here to tell you something. He says, Mr. Robinson, you're dangerous. And I'm thinking, dangerous? You know what came out of my mouth? I'm Canadian. When are we ever dangerous? What are we going to do, throw a beaver at you? Here's some maple syrup. Dangerous. What if those two words ever came? Dangerous Canadian. He's like, you're dangerous. I'm like, what? And he has a file. It has my name on it. He says, Mr. Robinson. And he puts down a file. And he opens it up. You know what it is? It's photos of me preaching the gospel. There were secret police in the meetings taking photos of me. Now, I'm going to be honest. I looked at those photos. I thought, man, those would make really good bio photos. They got me really good. I thought, man, if you're not using them, can I use them? Just saying. Got some good cameras in Indonesia. Those secret police know how to take good photos. He says, Mr. Robinson, you're dangerous because you've been leading so many Muslims to Jesus. And he says, I'm here to tell you something. That on behalf of the Indonesian government, I'm here to tell you that this is your very last trip to Indonesia. And from today on, we're going to be watching you. And I'm here to tell you that you'll never be allowed to come back to the country again. And he has this smile on his face. And it was like this demonic smile. He says, oh, and have a nice day. I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted to give him the right foot. Boom. and a little just, you know, laying hands on him suddenly. And I get out, and I feel like I got hit in the head with a 2x4, and I'm like, oh my goodness, God, what am I going to do? You promised me that Indonesia was my place of inheritance, that we were going to see all this stuff happen. I've seen some stuff. I haven't seen the fullness. And I remember Holy Spirit speaking to me, Sammy, I can make a way where there is no way. And I remember I had to preach that night. And I literally got in. It took hours in the customs office. So I go to this conference. There's like 3,000 kids there. And I'm sitting trying to act holy. But inside I'm like, oh God, I can't believe this happened to me. Why would you do this to me? And I'm having my own pity party. And all of a sudden I hear this I feel this tap of my shoulder. And I turn around. I don't see anyone. I look down. And it looked like Mr. Miyagi. You ever seen Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid? There's this older Indonesian man. And he looks at me and says, Mr. Robinson, I have a word for you. I said, really? He says, yes, I got a word for God for you. I said, okay. He said, from today forwards, you will never have trouble at the Indonesian customs again. Wow. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know what I said? Bless you. Thank you so much. That was so encouraging. Thank you. I'm thinking, you know what, though? Really? The Indonesian customs officer had a little bit more weight than that word. Thank you for the confirmation, but God, help, 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 help. I remember closing my eyes again, and all of a sudden, I had turned around, and here he is. He says, Mr. Robinson, you did not listen to the word. From today forwards, you will never have trouble at customs again. Now, I thought he had an English problem. So I go, thank you. I appreciate your word for me. Bless you. And then he goes, Mr. Robinson, I speak English very well. I'm like, bless you. Thank you. God, help, 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 help. All of a sudden, a third time. Now, after the second time, I'm already up to here. Third time, I'm like, what's your problem, man? Mr. Robinson, I'm thinking, if you say Mr. Robinson one more time, you did not get it. I said, I didn't get what? He said, from today on, you'll never have trouble at the border again. I'm like, great. How do you know that? That's a good question to ask. How do you know you'll never have trouble? And this little man, this guy was a spunky old man. I mean, he was like this, and puts his chest out. He says, Mr. Robinson, what you don't know about me, I own the airport. What? I own Jakarta International Airport. How many know in one moment, your perception of someone can change drastically? You know what I'm talking about. All of us have done, well, I can't believe that guy. You get to know them, you're like, hey, I was like, buddy! What's up, my man? Let's get some satay after the meal. Man, I had a new Indonesian brother, but I have my hand around him. Come on, talk to me. Give us some love. He said the Lord spoke to him early 2000s that his company should purchase the rights to the airport. He wasn't even thinking about getting into any business with the airport. The Lord spoke to him to purchase the rights to the airport when the government gave up the rights. And the Lord spoke to him that day and said this, there's going to be a time when the nation of Indonesia will not want ministers to come in because of the advancement of the kingdom. I've called you to purchase the airport to make a way for ministers where there feels like there is no way. He said, from today on, you're going to be treated like a diplomat, like a king. We're going to have the red carpet out for you. I'm thinking, red carpet out for me? Me? Humble, 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 humble. He said, next time you come in, I've never been so happy to leave a country to come back in. I literally changed my ticket. I left after that conference. I went down to Singapore and I flew back. But something happened, Jordan. Reality hit me. On the way back from Singapore to Indonesia to go in, I thought, what happens if he was lying? I'm like, this is either going to go really good or really bad. So I remember going in, and no joke, I'm coming off the airport, And there's this Indonesian guy, not the guy that I met, another guy. He had a Toronto Blue Jays hat on. He said, Mr. Robinson, come with me. I said, okay. He said, but I need your passport. I'm like, oh, my passport. I'm like, I don't know if I want to give up my passport. It's the moment of truth. I'm like, okay. He says, come with me. So I start going with him. And the whole, there's a plane of a couple hundred people. And we're all going in one direction. And all of a sudden, the one group splits off to the right. And I split off to the left. And the guy looks at me and stops. He says, Mr. Robinson, look down. And I look down. And there's the red carpet out for me. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, it's amazing. Humble, humble, humble. This is amazing. Humble, 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 humble. I remember going, this is awesome. What do you do? And I come behind. There's a wall. Then I come out from the wall. And there's this little railing. And everybody's looking at me like, who is this guy? What do you do? When you're in the red carpet, everyone's looking at you. You wave like the queen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And God reminded me, if you come with me, we take teams all the time. Same thing happens every single time. God will make a way where there is no way. Some of you feel like you're in a possible situation, but you don't realize that Holy Spirit today can make a way where there is no way. He can bring life to a situation that feels like it's completely surrounded by death. Some of you today, you're in the hardest situation of your life, but I'm going to tell you something. God's about to bring the greatest testimony that you've ever seen before, because you're stepping into something new, because Holy Spirit will do the impossible. And I'm so thankful that we don't serve the God of the possible, but we serve the God of the impossible that takes every impossible situation and makes it possible. That's the God that you serve tonight. He's going to make a way. You just got to do it. Some of you today, you know what we need to do? Put the big boy pants, put the big girl pants. Just do it. Nike got it best. It's a $1 billion slogan. Why? Because they realize talk is cheap. Just do it. And I love this. Let's go back here to John chapter 2. I'm almost done. I'm going to take a couple more minutes. Then I want to pray for people. God's going to release his joy today. How many want some joy? Come on. And I just feel right now, listen, tomorrow night, I the Lord spoke to me. I want to pray for every single person tomorrow night, if that's okay. Listen, I want you to encourage your friends to come out. We're going to lay hands on everybody. I'm believing God for amazing things to take place. We're going to release prophetic words. I just feel like I said, I came back from Disney vacation. I'm like, I'm ready to rip. Like, I'm recharged. And so I want to pray for you, because I really do believe Brooks is coming into the greatest season. And we see here, look at this, John chapter 2. Verse 6, nearby stood 6 stone water jars the king used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Say ceremonial washing. Each holding between 20 to 30 gallons. How many know that is a lot of water that's going to be turned to wine? You know what that's approximately, by the way, just to let you know, that's approximately 120 to 180 gallons of water that's going to be turned to wine for a group of people that drank the house out. You know what that shows me? Our God is not afraid of a little excess. Some of us are like, we shouldn't go in excess. Listen, some of us have been so dry for so long, you need the overflow of heaven tonight. I don't want to be a squeaky faucet. How many need some oil of revival tonight? And I love this. The ceremonial pot. You know what the ceremonial pots were for? It was for the purification, the washing of your hands. How many know back then? Let me give you a little education. They didn't have bathrooms like we had. I'm just saying. Can I tell you something about those pots? They were nasty. Nasty. What did God do? He filled up the nasty pots with water. Ooh. Can I tell you something about God? He's not afraid of the dirt that's in your life. Some of us, we try so hard because we feel like my vessel, my life, my body has to be perfect for God to use me. And we don't realize that God... will fill you up, and the water of revival will take out all the rest of the stuff. Some of us today are trying to deal with issues of addiction, of depression, oppression through our own strength. We're trying to clean ourselves out, and we're doing all the self-help and all these things. But the truth is this. How many have ever, listen, there's a lot of farmers probably here too. I've met a few. How many have ever pumped an old water well? Like, you remember the, you know what I'm talking about? The old wells. You know, you're doing by hand and you're pumping. And if you get an old well that you haven't used for a while and you start pumping that thing, can I tell you something? You know the first thing that happens? You don't want to drink from that. I mean, it looks like the well just vomited. I mean, it's like the mud and the gunk is coming out and you're like, ugh! I don't want to drink from that. And my buddy, who's a farmer, said, Sammy, keep pumping. Watch what happens. And I would pump. And how many know? Because of the pressure of the water, all the other stuff is lifted out. And if you keep pumping, fresh water will flow. I got a word about your life today. Some of us are trying to deal with the junk in our life, and we don't realize that God wants to bring in his water, his presence. He wants to fill you up to overflowing. You don't have to make the pot clean. You don't have to try to make everything perfect. What you need to do is be filled to overflowing with his presence. And if you're filled to overflowing with his presence, just like the water that comes from the well, it'll pump out all the other garbage. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Just ask God for more of his presence. See, I feel that. Sometimes we go to churches, it's like we got the toothbrush anointing. You know what that is? It's like we're trying to get everything. It's like every little nick, because we feel like we have to be perfect. God's not looking for perfect vessels. He's looking for hungry ones. Because you can't make it on your own. One of the greatest things I learned is I can't do it in my own strength. You know when I really learned that? When I had kids. How many parents, you know what I'm talking about? When you have kids, it changes everything. I'm going to tell you something, men. You don't really know what you have until you change a poopy diaper. I don't care how cool you think you are and how manly you think you are. You handle a poopy diaper, it changes your life. I realized something about my kids. I can't make my kids do anything. I can teach them on the way. But I can lead them an example, and I can allow God's presence to fill them. And I realized something about my parenting skills. I learned that one of the greatest things that I can do is to allow Holy Spirit to guide me in my parenting and to guide them and create room for the Holy Spirit to move. And when I learned that, I tell you, it freed me up from trying to be a superstar parent or try to be a superstar Christian. Listen, there's no great men or women of God. There's men and women who serve a great God. And here's Jesus. He says, fill up the water pots. So they fill them to the brim. And then I love this because it's not just about filling. Verse 8, he says, and he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. Praise God. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, look at this. Everyone brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guest had had too much to drink. But you have saved the best. Say best. You have saved the best till now. I have a word for you today. God has saved the best wine till now. I don't know if you know this, but there's many prophecies over Canada that prophets have prophesied throughout the nation of, or the history of Canada. You know what one of the greatest words that was spoken through multiple prophets was that there was going to be a revival so great in Canada that you could take all the revivals that the world has seen, the Book of Acts, the Welsh revival, all these different ones, you could put it together. Imagine all these revivals in a big pot. Healing revival, all this stuff. And they said you could multiply it by 100. How many would just like to experience like the Book of Acts? I would. But God is going above what we can think or imagine. And they said, God is protecting the nation of Canada for such a time as this because there's a revival that's coming that's 100 times greater than what we can think or imagine. 100 times. Multiple prophets throughout history have prophesied almost word for word the very same thing. What I forgot to tell you was in Indonesia, those four people that have those four billionaires, they have a prayer network of 32 million Christians that pray around the clock 24/7. They are so convinced that Canada's called to be an igniter of world revival that one day a week they focus on the nation of Canada, 32 million Christians are praying for the nation of Canada to step into the fullness of her calling. I don't know about you, but that's inspiring. If God's going to use someone, why not you? If he's going to move somewhere, why not here in Brooks, Alberta? I believe the greatest move of God is ahead of us right now. Listen, your greatest days are not behind you. They're in front of you right now. And we have an opportunity to step into something beyond what we can think or imagine. And some of us today, we need a refreshment because we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. And we need God to anoint our eyes to see. Because until you see the way that God sees you, you can never step into the fullness of what he's called you to move in. And one of the ways that that can happen is when God fills you to overflowing, when you receive the joy of harvest. Because the Bible says, listen, if you've sowed with tears, you'll reap with joy. The Lord spoke to me and said, Samuel, if you want to reap, you must step into joy. Joy is the precursor for harvest. That's why the religious spirit does not like joy, because it knows that joy comes before harvest and that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, let's just lift up our hands all over this place. How many are hungry for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today? Not just a little dab. Listen, if you want more tonight, I want you to stand up all over this room. If you want more tonight, you're like, Holy Spirit, I want more tonight. I want an overflow. I want you to make a way where there is no way. I want you to lift up your hands. Can we get the worship team up? Is that possible? Oh, just lift up your hands all over this place. I believe God's going to start moving on people. You know, guys, if you get words too, let me know. We're going to move in some prophetic. I believe I got some words of knowledge for healing today. And God wants to touch people's bodies. But let's just lift up our hands. Because right now, I believe that Holy Spirit wants to just invade this place. And he wants to remove all disappointment, all discouragement. He wants to release the joy of the Lord right now. And Lord, I thank you right now with our hands lifted up. Lord, we're asking you tonight to fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, we're asking tonight that you would come and take the water of the word and turn it into wine today. Lord, and I thank you that where we have sowed with tears. Man, I can feel that some of you, you've sowed with tears. Whew. You're going to reap with joy right now. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would just move in this room right now. From the top of people's heads to the soles of their feet. Lord, just release right now your joy in this place. Lord, fill us up to overflowing right now all over this room. Lord, just release it. Oh, Lord, release it in this place.